Good evening. You know, June is a special month for me and my granddaughter. I don't see her here right now. It's our birthday month. But there's many things that happened in June that hadn't got anything to do with either one of us. It's the time of year where many of our young people, and not so young for some of them, are graduating from grade school, high school, college, and are looking forward to being handed a little piece of paper that says that they did a good job. This little piece of paper shows that they have completed a prescribed course, satisfactory in math, English, history, science, and other subjects, and continue and can continue on the next level of their development. To have obtained this piece of paper, as well as all of us who have had someone teaching us from the very beginning, from the time that we were born right up to the time that we receive higher education and higher schooling. Everything we do and have done has some kind of education with it. To get an education, whether it be from the school of hard knocks or a formal school, we have to work at it ourselves. We have to put forth the effort. No one else can do it for us. Our name has to be on that piece of paper. Not John Doe or Jane Doe, but our own, to prove that we have earned it. There is a record that is kept on each and every person who starts school, whether they finish or not. Everything each of us did, every grade that we made during our school days went into it, into a file that is passed on from year to year, from teacher to teacher, and from each school that we may attend. It lets each teacher know where we are academically and what to expect from each one of us. We also have another record that is kept on each and every one of us. A very important record. Each and everything we say and do, day by day, year by year, goes into this file. It's called the Book of Life. And it lets God know what we have done in this life, what we have learned, what we have done with the knowledge that we gained. It tells us about this in Revelations 20. Revelations 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. This book of life shows God if we have or have not earned the diploma of everlasting life to be able to live in one of those mansions that Jesus said that he went to prepare for us. John 14:2. Here we find Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." To get that diploma, that little piece of paper that we are striving for, we have to have the right textbooks. It can't be a sci-fi magazine or a comic book or many other books out there. It has to be a special text, the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And we have to have the right teacher. Who is our teacher? Jesus Christ. Granted, we are depending on our ministry to tell us the truth from up here. But you don't have to take our word for it. You've got it in your lap. You can read it for yourself. Especially in those books that he caused to be written by his prophets. Jesus Christ is our teacher. He gave us guidelines to follow in these two books. He showed us a straight and narrow path to follow. We have to live and learn from these two books. We have to let it shine forth in our everyday lives. Not just on Sunday or Wednesday evenings. If we want that diploma to say in the end, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We can't go and see an R or X-rated movie or do other things that the Lord says are no-no during the week and go to church on Sunday and Wednesday night and think that everything is all right. What we did yesterday was yesterday. But today is the day we go to church, and that makes everything all right. Not so. It does matter. Go to 3 John. John 3:11. "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doth good is of God, but he who doeth evil has not seen God." And I'll go to Romans, 12th chapter. Ninth verse. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And in 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, 5th chapter. Verse 22. Abstain from all evil. We see in these scriptures that there's enough examples to lead us away from evil. But if we associate long enough with evil, it doesn't look so bad after a while. And it becomes easier to partake of it. We lose our ability to see the danger in it. And the things that are wrong start to look okay. It's like a bad odor in the room. If we stay in the room long enough, we don't smell it any longer. But if someone comes into the room from outside, they can tell immediately something's wrong. Something stinks. We have to make a choice. Accept one or the other, good or evil. There's no between. It's either black or white, no gray. I knew a man that graduated from a child in the scriptures to a spiritual giant because he searched for a better way of life. Perhaps each one of us knows someone like that. This man that I speak of yearned for knowledge and understanding so much that he wired a little table between his plow handles. And he wired his textbooks to that. So he could study as he went about his daily chore of plowing the field to grow food for his family. His textbooks were the Bible and the Book of Mormon. He was doing what we are told to do in 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, 15th verse. 2 Timothy, 2 chapter, 15th verse. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a few of you who are here tonight know who I'm speaking about. And know that I am speaking the truth concerning him and about his dedication in the studying of the scriptures that would one day he will be able to receive that diploma with the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter ye in." I don't know how much formal schooling he had. I doubt if he even finished grade school. Someplace in the back of my mind says sixth grade, but I don't know for sure. Many in his day did not finish school. They had to go to work. But if memory serves him right, in his lifetime, he received several honorary degrees. He was twice nominated for the Vice President of the United States. Once nominated for the President of the United States. And yet, in all of this, he never forgot that he was a servant of the Most High God. Go to Mosiah 1. Page 212. Page 212, verse 48 and 49. Behold, I say unto you, that because I said unto you that I have spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast. For I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things, that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, that you are only in the service of your God. A couple of weeks ago, or so, I asked our sister Debbie Brown. She sits in the corner back there generally so she can see the whole congregation to take a tally and see how many people are here. And it seemed that Sunday that we kind of overdid ourselves because I think we had 98 in the morning and 93 in the evening. And then I took a tally. Two-thirds of that congregation that day can claim through bloodlines and marriage to be a descendant of that man I'm talking about. Two-thirds that was here the other day. This man that I'm talking about is my grandfather, the man who I was named after. He was an apostle of the Most High God, James E. Yates. We too can become a spiritual giant if we are willing to study to gain more knowledge of the Scriptures and put that knowledge to good use. We are told to search the Scriptures, for in them we can find the path to everlasting life. In a few days, we will be celebrating the 4th of July and the 237th anniversary of the birth of our nation. Our forefathers fought and died for several things in the War of Independence. We know that I got my papers all mixed up. do that. But it's important that we could have the freedom of religion. That's the greatest thing that came out of that war. We need to take advantage of that freedom. That was given to us. And search for the better knowledge of understanding of our scriptures. Let us prepare ourselves for our final graduation into that everlasting life in such a way that we can hear those precious words that we can read in the first part of Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now we are going to have eternal life. But it's up to us where we're going to spend it. Are we going to have eternal life in the heavenly mansions or elsewhere, as it tells us in Matthew 13? Matthew 13:49-50. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." It seems to me that we only have one choice. And I pray that each one of us makes the right one. For all eternity, to all eternity is a long time. We don't want any part of that furnace. I thank you for your time.